right. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We appreciate, Lord, the time that you have provided again, whereby we can come to your house and we can open your word and we can hear you speak. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to not make this just another day of the week. Lord, just another Sunday, just not another day that we put our suits on or our beautiful dresses and come and sit on a comfortable pew and feel the AC and hear somebody talk up in the podium. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to see something in your word today that might shock us some points, not in a good way, Lord, that might cause us to think and ponder your word. Pray for the people here that might have had a hard week this week with different circumstances in their lives, Lord, with pressure. Lord, I pray that you'd help them just to sit there, Lord, and kind of let those wind down and pay attention to what you have to say. Lord, help me, Lord, as I speak. Lord, I pray that you'd use me, guide me, Lord. I know it's been a busy week and some are tired. Lord, we pray that you'd give us some alertness and help us to, Lord, take advantage of what you have given us. And that's your word and the freedom that we have to read it in front of everybody in public and meet and sing your songs. Lord, we love you and we'll give you the praise and the glory, for it's due your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Jehovah, like I was saying before, Jehovah talks of God. This is his proper name, if you would say it that way. The other names, the one that we studied earlier, Elohim, speaks of God as the creator, the almighty God that was able to create. Jehovah is his person, who he is. And I was saying before that I love my Lord not because he's all-powerful. I love him because not necessarily he's all-knowing and he's all-present and he's always there. I don't love my God because of what he can provide for me. I have grown enough, I could say, in the Lord, and I'm not bragging about it, because I got more to go. Got a lot to go. I'm just a young person. I've been saved for 12 years now. But the Lord has still a lot of things that I have to learn. But I think I can say somewhat that I love God because of who he is. Not what he can do for me, but who he is. He's a person, just like you, just like me. He has personality. He's got feelings. He's got emotions. He's got the word of God. He talks. He walks with you. And he's an actual being, not just per se an object of religion or a figment of somebody's imagination, but he's a real person. He's a real being. And we can have a relationship with him as we have a relationship with one another, although we have to come to him on his terms. We have to worship God. We have to have a relationship with him in a holy way because he's a holy God. He cannot have sin. If you have sin, you have hid your face. Your sin has hid your face from God. He cannot behold sin. In fact, the reason there's clouds is because of that reason. He cannot behold sin. He doesn't like looking at sin. He hates it. He despises it. It's an abomination unto him. And so you have to come to God in a holy way. And he provides you that way through his Son, the Lord Jesus. See, our righteousness on our own is filthy. It's filthy rags. And God cannot be with filth because he's pure. He's clean. So you must come to him and his Son. And he provided that way for you. Split the veil when he was gave up the ghost. Split the veil, signifying that now you have access to God and his throne through his Son, the Lord Jesus. And so I am that I am. We see this in Exodus chapter number 3. Are you weak? Illustration, I am strength. Are you poor? I am rich. That's what God can be to you at any point in your life. Are you in trouble? I am your comfort. If you're taking notes, it'd be a good thing to do, because I'm going to move really quick. Are you sick? I am health. Have you nothing? I am all things. I am power, wisdom, glory, beauty, holiness, mercy, grace, etc. Grace is an amazing thing, and don't ever take for granted of it. some of us sometimes get to abuse grace. And we shouldn't be abusing the grace of God. In fact, when God gives us grace, we should fall down and cause us to repent. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. It should be that way. You know, people think that, well, I'm saved now. That means I can do what I want to do. No, you get to do what God wants you to do. Is we don't get to live in the flesh after God saved us from that. We don't continue to live in sin. God forbid, he says. But we have grace, and grace is an amazing thing, an amazing thing. And God to you is grace, enablement, giving you the power to do what he asks you to do. We never do anything on our own power because we can't. We can't be a Christian. You know, some people say, well, it's hard to be a Christian. And some people say, well, easy to be a Christian. No, it's impossible to be a Christian. No, you can't be a Christian on your own. There's no way. In your ability, doesn't matter how good you may be, how religious you are, there's no way on your own you can be a Christian. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ that I do what I do. By the grace of God, I am that I am. And we do the things, I do the missionary work through the grace of God. I visit the kids and ride the bus by the grace of God. We go out and pass out literature by the grace of God. You think I like it when I go out there and pass out tracts and people give you the funny looking faces that they give you? Sometimes, a lady yesterday, we're passing out tracts in an Italian festival. And the lady goes, kind of jumps off. It was a tract. They know what it is by now. People know us on the fairs. We've done it so many times. So people know us. And one of these days, I'm going to hear somebody, the backpack gang, because that's what we do. We have backpacks, and it's full of tracts. You know how they call certain groups of people, they name them with different things, and maybe one of these days we can be named that. We'll be the fanatics that have backpacks and tracks. I'm going to be interested in what they call us. I was telling Pastor said when we're done and over with, they're going to remember that, those backpack people. Get away from them because they have papers in their hands and they're going to bite you. And so one of the ladies walked by and she kind of shrugged off and like kind of jumped off. Like I said, yeah, be careful. If you take it, I'll bite you. And so she started laughing and everything else, and a couple of them took the tracks. So a lot of them go end up in the trash can, but some of them get read, and we receive occasionally tracks that we have in the back. They can put their names and their address if they have made the decision to receive Christ. And we have received several of those this year. So the Lord's good. The Lord uses those things. We were in the Taste of Buffalo, 500,000 people. Man, I got pictures of it. The main aisle looks like it's just cluster and cluster of people. You couldn't possibly go through. You have to stay in the corner because there's so much people, you'd be going like this. You're going to pass out tracks, literally. And so the Lord uses those different things. He's all things to us. All things. He's the one that gives us the ability to go out there. It's scary. It's scary to look at the people's faces because they make fun of you. The freaks, Jesus freaks and stuff like that. Although, if we really think about it, it's not so hard when our brothers in China and different places that have not the freedom we have, that have to meet in secret and have fear of people killing them because of what they believe. That's not so hard. But yet, in the same time, it's not nice when you're trying to be nice to somebody and keep a smiling face when somebody says, get the out of here, you know? It's nice to keep on smiling after they say that. So, but the grace of God will help you. Will help you to do that. It's hard when you give them a track and they rip it right in front of you and throw it back at you. Or they put it on the ground. Or they take their cigarette butts and burn it and stuff like that. So, sometimes those are good. I have other experiences where a guy would come and give me a hug. I don't know why. And would kiss me. And they're drunk. I don't know what's going on with that. So sometimes it's nicer that they burn it. I remember one time here in the grape festival, somebody came up. It was a fellow, I guess, known me from somewhere. I don't know if I knew him. He might be thinking of somebody else. But I passed, gave him a track. His wife was there. His wife said, let's go home. And he goes, because he's drunk. He doesn't know what he was talking about. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, grabbed me and gave me a kiss. Man, he had the mustache and everything. I understand what ladies don't like the husband to have any facial hair. That felt really weird. And the other place, I was in Austin, and I was going to college, and the other drunk guy, don't pass out tracts to a drunk guy. No, you should do that, because they sometimes they'll put it in their pocket, they wake up the next day or something. You never know what's going to happen with a tract. Pass it out to anybody. It's good. But this guy was drunk. The first tract I gave him, he got his lighter out and burned it right in front of me. Like, I'm kind of trying to step back because I don't want to get burnt. And then he put it in the ground, so I stamped on it. Then he got mad at me. But I don't know what I did, but I grabbed another track and gave it to him. I guess I enjoyed him burning it, so I gave him another track. And when I gave him another track, he just bursted out crying and then gave me a hug. And I'm stuck like that for like a while. I said, okay, what do I do next? It's really good. You get some wild conversation out there. People believe some wild stuff. But it's the grace of God. We need to go out there and give them the grace that we have through the Lord Jesus. See, we can go boldly to the throne of grace. They don't have that access. They're not a child of God. So we need to go out there and tell them that God cares for them. God, I am all things. He's our grace. He's our holiness. We can't live a holy life without the Lord. There is no way. We can't have righteousness, true righteousness, without the Lord. He imputes us His own righteousness. He takes away our righteousness, which is filthy, and gives us His own righteousness, clothes us with His own righteousness. In Jehovah 6, 1 through 8, God tells Moses by name. Let's go over there, Exodus chapter number 6. I promise you I'll finish today. I promise. Exodus chapter number 6, and verses 1 through 8. Let me read, go ahead, and you catch up, follow on. Verse 1, then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. Excuse me. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. Remember what we said? Capital L, capital O-R-D. In the King James translated the word Jehovah. And sometimes it's actually, we'll see it in verse 3, the actual words there. And I appeared unto Abram, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But, remember, God Almighty, Elohim. But by name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. And I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. That's what God wants to do. He wants to be known as a personal God. We say that all the time. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Because He is a personal God. He wants to know you personally. He already does, by the way. He wants you to take the opportunity to get to know Him. The amazing thing about Christianity is not only does our God know us, but He gives us the opportunity to know Him in an intimate way. He gives us that ability. There's no other way you can think about it that way. My friends, Buddha's dead. Nobody gets to know Him. Muhammad is long gone dead. The only people that can read about Him is the people that wrote when he was still alive. But my God lives forever. And my book that I study, His words are alive. And every time you read it, you find something new almost all the time. You got a Holy Spirit that lives inside of you that's all powerful. God Himself lives inside of you. The author of the book sits down with you when you read the Bible. Did you know that? He personally reads it with you. If you notice Him, He'll probably point out some things from His Word. Because the Bible is a personal book. Well, you say, well, I can understand it. I understand some of the things pertains to Israel. Doesn't pertain to us as Christians today. But there's other things in the book that surely pertains to us today. It's not a book that is outdated. It's still good today. You can practice the principle of it today, and it'll still prove to be good. It still works. Principle of businesses, you follow the principle of Proverbs on business, it'll work today. The Word of God is good, powerful. Well, you say, well, it's not up to date because it doesn't talk about Bud Light. It doesn't talk about this. It doesn't talk about this particular show. No, the Bible is a principle. The Bible talks about principle, and it's all over the Bible. When you get a principle, that affects you for all of eternity. It doesn't change. I have set no evil thing upon my eye. That's a principle. And you can find that today, that you can't be looking at stupid stuff. Oh, the Bible doesn't talk about pornography. Yes, it talks about nakedness and so on and so forth. The Bible is up to date. I made a mistake earlier. I said it's not, but it's up to date. And he can tell you what you need to do today. You might look old-fashioned because the world's going farther, farther away from the principle. People don't live by principle anymore. People live by feelings. If it feels good, I'll do it. Yes, things feel good at the moment, but then you pay for them later on. I'm going to laugh one of these days, and I shouldn't be mean, and I don't want to be mean to anybody, but all of these young girls that have tattoos, right over here, they, you know, they put it right here, and then they have the low-cut jeans, so when they bend over, you can see the big old tattoo. Well, you say, well, you'll be looking at that. Well, you go out past our tracks, you see all them naked people. And you go out soul and you'll see them. And so you see those things. I'm not going to be working enough. Because I'm older than them, so I might be in the nursing home by then. But what happened if they get to the nursing home? Poor old people, the next kind to come and help them. Hopefully we have still nursing home by then. But I'm going to feel sad for all those young people. Maybe your daughter or maybe your son that have to work in a nursing home. Have to look at all those people with their tattoos right there. It used to be a butterfly, I guess, but it doesn't look like a butterfly anymore. But it's going to be wild. I Love Joe looks like, bleh, you know? It's going to be wild. It's going to be really wild. All those earrings, oh. And I don't mean to make fun of people, but just pointing out the later on. We make decisions for now. We don't think about the effects of it in the future. You know, I'm thinking already about what my kids are going to do. You should be able to think about those things. We should be praying for those things. What's going to happen when you're 50 years old? Do you get any idea? Do you get any aspiration or goals in life? Make decisions today that you know will benefit you in the future. And if you're not saved, you can make a decision that will affect you in the future. And that's receive the Lord Jesus. And it will benefit you for the rest of eternity. And by the way, when you receive Jesus, not only benefits you in the future, it benefits you at the moment you receive Him. And it's just awesome. Jehovah was not known among Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. We read that. But I keep covenant, and so you shall know that I am. I will honor the promise and the covenant. I am. I change not. That's what we said about Jehovah. Jehovah is self-existence. And He cannot change. That's what Jehovah means. He is the God of righteousness, holiness, and love. Ephesians 4:24, 1 John 4:8. Exodus 3, 5, and 7. Read this already. Three modifications of that wonderful name. Jah, Ijah, Jehovah. Jah implies absolute being. It means He is. It occurs once in Psalm 68:4. Ijah, being in the future tense, means He shall be. It occurs once in Exodus 3:14, where it is translated, I am that I am. I read that earlier. Jehovah is exclusive of past, present, and future. No matter the perspective of your views, He is, never was, nor will be, but always He is. So He hasn't changed in all of these years. He was the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Oops, I got the wrong one. Nope, I do got the right one. There we go. I am he. Before me there was no God, Elohim, formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, Jehovah, and beside me there is no Savior. Isaiah 43:10-11. Jehovah is the revelation and expression of himself in his essential moral and spiritual attribute. Elohim is a general name for God concerned with the creation and preservation of the world, that is, his works. So, in review, we see that experiencing who God is allows us to know him by name. Jehovah I Am, in Genesis 1:3, man has seen God Elohim and known him. But in Genesis 4, we find man's needs compelling him to a deeper understanding. Righteousness. We said Jehovah is righteousness. Psalms 11:7. Jehovah Elohim is righteous in all his works. Daniel 9:14. Moses said, just and right is he. Abraham said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Isaac, Jacob, Joshua, they know Jehovah as righteous. Holiness. Righteousness demands holiness. God is righteous. God is holy. Because of man's sin, man has no righteousness. Romans 3:10-23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. God has provided imputed righteousness through sacrifice. We talked about that. Not personal or ecclesiastical. Not through merit or purchase. Not as if we have obtained, but rather received through faith and a sufficient sacrifice. We can't get it on our own. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's through the person and sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ whereby we get righteousness. Man, I made a mistake like this when I first preached in Tagalog in the Philippines when we were there this last August. I had one letter that I messed up. The same word I was supposed to say, forgive. God will forgive you if you come to him. But I said, God will bargain with you. And so God doesn't bargain with anybody because you can't afford to pay for a soul. You can't afford to pay for one sin to be blotted out. God can blot it out. He's the one that died. Hence, we receive not righteousness, but his. We don't receive our righteousness, but his. He is our sacrifice, the sufficient one. Man received righteousness through Christ. I know some of you guys were sleeping over there. Man received righteousness through Christ, and because he is holy, we are to be holy. I am holy, be holy, for I am holy. That's what the Bible tells us about the Lord. One last one. When we are in Christ, reflecting Christ, we show forth true righteousness and holiness. Question, that God look to see your righteousness or his? Remember, there is none righteous, no, not one. It is Jehovah that sent man from the garden, righteous judgment. It is Jehovah that looked upon wickedness and corruption and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, judged with the flood, etc. Jehovah said to Moses, whosoever have sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Exodus 32:3. Fortunately, love. We see righteousness, we see holiness, and we see love. God is love. He is righteousness, and he is holy, as Jehovah. Fortunately for all creation, God is love. I, Jehovah, have loved thee with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:3. Jehovah seeks to restore fallen men. He sought Adam and Eve. He taught them to approach him by means of sacrifice, a substitute. How do we know that? Because their children sacrificed. And if the children sacrificed, obviously the parents taught them to do it. Cain and Abel sacrificed. Jehovah's love provided the necessary sacrifice. Exodus 6:6 states, I am Jehovah, I will bring you out. God's love does not leave man in sin, but rather his love demands that he bring man out. Do not forget that God has a covenant with man. Exodus 35:34-37, Zechariah 13:9. Jehovah is just. He is the Savior. So that is Jehovah. Remember, Jehovah, self-existence, unchanging. And in Jehovah, he is righteous, he is holy, and he is love. So remember that. Elohim, we studied, God is an all-powerful creator. He's the creator. He made all the things that we see. In Jehovah, we see him as his person, who he is. Who he is in essence, he's the one. He's the only God. He's Jehovah. And think about that today and pray for the things that's going on. You want to let people know, Jehovah. We got this Dunkirk Fair coming up right after junior camp. And so pray for that. And then the end of August, we got the Erie County Fair. So be praying for that, what you can do in either prayer or fasting, or maybe going out there soul winning yourself and telling people who Jehovah is. He's righteous, he's holy, and he's love. And you can present the gospel in those three different things. He's holy, he cannot be with sin. And you're a sinner, he can't have you to go to heaven. He's righteous, he gives you so that you can approach him because he loves you. And you can tell people that. There's people there that are hurting, people that are dying, people that are going to hell, and they need you to stand in between them, between life and death. Moses stood in front of the children of Israel between life and death. And you can stand for the people out here in our community between life and death. We got the parade, the Eden Festival, the corn eating parade that we're going to have. That's another opportunity to present the gospel. So think about those things. And don't just enjoy what God gives you or who he is to you. Share him. That's the purpose of it. Share the Lord. It's just not for you. You know, we get comfortable and we enjoy all the benefits he gives us. We don't think about the next person, our neighbors, or those that we meet when we're grocery shopping or pumping our gas, and we don't think of them needing what we have. If you guys got something so wonderful, how in the world is it so hard for you to talk about it? If you got something so good, how is it for you so hard for you to express it? Man, you guys make fun of me, and that's good. I talk about Elizabeth a lot because I have something wonderful, and I can't not wait to talk about it. Well, we have something more wonderful than just Elizabeth. Sorry, Elizabeth, I know you're going to listen to this. But we got our Lord. And how come we don't talk about him? He's Jehovah. He's all that you need. In every aspect of your life, in every need that you have, he can meet all of them. He is the I Am, the ever-presence. Right now, and we can't talk about him. You should cry once in a while. You ever miss your Lord? Is there a point in your time that you actually miss God sometime? You get so busy doing things for him, and you forget him. You actually miss those times when you open up the Bible? You know, sometimes in the Bible, it's not always the same. When you read it the next day to the next day, some days you don't get nothing. I'm not being, you know, saying that every time you read it, something's going to pop out that you'll be realistic here. But there are some times that are wonderful. And you remember those times. Like, God talked to me a certain way. You know, sometimes Elizabeth and I would be talking, and sometimes it's just being funny and being silly. But other times we get to talk on something very, very important. And nobody has to do something with the Bible. And those times are wonderful. And enjoy the Bible in a way that it's just not a book. It's not just any other book that you pick up on the shelf that you can read and put down. It's more than that. This is your letter from God. This is him. This is the way he has chosen to talk to you. You know, I can't wait to talk to Elizabeth on the phone. Can't wait to talk to God in prayer. You don't have to have your eyes closed all the time. I mean, every time I talk to Elizabeth, I don't normally sit down in the same chair and just look at the same direction. Sometimes I'll be moving around. Sometimes I'm doing other things. You don't talk with a person the same way. You guys don't talk always, okay, I can't talk to you, honey, until we sit on that particular chair you sit on. And we have to look a certain way at each other. You're not going to get over that. Those are religious things. Our God is a personal God. He's alive. Stop making him a box and stop putting him on the cross. He's more than those things. When you're sad, he's there to comfort you. When you're happy, he's there to rejoice. He's I am. He's a real person. He's a being that wants you. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. Thank you that you are creator, God Elohim. Lord, we thank you so much. And I can't thank you enough for making yourself known to us in a personal way. Jehovah, thank you for your righteousness that you have imputed in my life. Thank you, Lord, that you're holy, for sin is a murderer. Thank you that you don't have sin in your presence. And we can enjoy that in heaven. No more sin, no more death. We also thank you, Lord, for your love. And that your love is not just in words, but you have proven it many times over with your actions. Lord, help us today. Help us to share those things that we enjoy so much. And that's you. You're our reward. And you are our rejoicing. Lord, we pray that you'd help us now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 13 minutes.